Hi, knitters, it's Nancy Queen, and welcome to episode 8 of the Yarn Lover Podcast.
Yarn Lover Podcast, where knitters and crocheters unwind.
Today on the show, we have Katie Rempe. She is a fashion design major turned knitter who actually carved out a career for herself in the knitting industry. That's up next. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hey, Nancy. I'm doing well.
Great to have you on the show.
So nice of you to have me.
Well, let's kick things off with our speed round. I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and they're simple things like chocolate or vanilla. And you just answer, and we'll go from there.
Perfect. Sounds good.
And what do you like better?
Chocolate.
Okay. All right. First up, diamonds or pearls?
Pearls.
Intarsia or Fair Isle?
Ooh, neither. I'm bad at both.
Manicure or makeover?
Makeover.
Increasing or decreasing?
Decreasing.
Crying or screaming?
Ooh, usually I do a bit of both.
Double points or magic loop?
Magic loop, 100%.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
I'm not surprised on that answer with you, Katie. Cables, yeah. Cables or lace?
Cables.
Now, toilet paper, do you have it on the loop over or under?
Over. And I will actually fix them if I can, wherever I'm at, if they're on the wrong way.
And the final question, one knitting project or many?
Oh, like a million. I don't even know how many I have over the years, but sometimes I buy yarn fully knowing I may never knit it, but I'm still okay with that.
Now, Katie, you and I have known each other for quite some time, and I'm really glad to have you on the show because it's just so, you know, comfortable, and we have a lot of fun when we get together. But I want to get to know you a little bit more. So tell us, what do you do in your job, and what do you do when you're not at work?
Well, currently, I actually work for Skasel, which is based in the Seattle area. So I'm one of the fortunate few who's been able to make their hobby their career path. And as you know, our industry is pretty small, so it's not very easy to do. So I feel very fortunate about that. But in my free time, I love living on the West Coast. Prior to moving out here to work at Skasel, I was exclusively on the East Coast. So to be up here and not just like LA West Coast, but real Pacific Northwest, it is just stunning. And it's blowing my mind, all these mountains. It's real inspirational. So I just try to go out and see as much as I can and get to know the area that I live in now.
Where did you used to live on the East Coast?
So most of the time I was in Florida, which is a bit of a departure. but in 1 year, I moved from Florida to Columbus, Ohio, and then Columbus, Ohio to Seattle. So
wow.
I totally recommend doing 2 cross-country moves if you can.
And you went from flat to the mountain. No wonder you love the mountains so much.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was trying to get away from Florida as much as I could, but certainly is the way it turned out.
And what else do you do in your downtime?
Downtime, you know, Seattle is really cultural, so there's a lot of shows. I end up doing a lot of things downtown on the weekends, go to see different plays, different acts. There's a lot of comedians that roll through. We're really lucky in that sense. But I mean, I obviously knit in free time. I read, and as much as I wish I could knit and read at the same time, I just find that I end up stop doing one, or I'm not paying attention, even if it's an audio book. So I need to work on my multitasking skills just a bit. One day.
And I have here in the show notes that you don't have a high school diploma, but you have 2 college degrees. Tell us a little bit
That's
more
right.
about that. How does that happen?
So So I'm not conventional, I guess. I don't like being told what to do. And I've found that you can really kind of go around certain aspects in your life that are traditional. Basically, what happened is when we moved from Ohio to Florida when I was in middle school. And after a couple of years there, I decided I didn't like the people I was surrounded by. So my mom homeschooled me for a year. And then I did all of my high school online. And it just... oh gosh, I lost my train of thought there.
That's okay. That's okay.
Oh gosh, what was the question?
So we went from, so we were talking about how you have no high school degree, or diploma, I should say, and two college degrees.
That's right. I knew I had a point in there somewhere. So basically, at the time, homeschooling online through high school was not a degree granting institution. So even though I did all of the work, they didn't give me a diploma at the end. So I took entrance exams at the local community college and ended up getting an associate's in fine art there. And then I transferred and got a fashion design degree at Kent State University afterwards. So technically I have no high school diploma, but that did not stop me from getting two college degrees. And that is my story, that if I'm ever on Jeopardy, that's going to be my little blurb.
So when you got out with your fashion design degree, what did you do with it? Did you go right to Scasell?
No, I actually couldn't get a job as much as I tried and tried. And I wasn't fully willing to just move to New York City and hope for the best. So I actually ended up moving back home and working at a local yarn store for 3 years. And it really taught me a lot, not only knitting, which, I mean, my knitting far improved working there, but customer service and sort of to gain a general sense of humor about things. It was valuable information to pocket then, and then it just ended up being perfect background information for my job here. So it's been very helpful to know what shops want.
So,
because I've been there.
How did you get into yarn, really? Were you a knitter before that and thought, oh, I want to go work at a yarn shop? Or did you think, oh, I like the fiber? You know, what led you to the yarn shop?
So I got into knitting through spite. I have a friend that I mean, her and I are not competitive, but she would pick up a hobby and then I would pick up the hobby or vice versa. So she got into knitting first and I was seeing the amazing things that she was making, and Ravelry was just coming to be at that point. And I thought, I really want to get into that. So I took one lesson, sort of remembered what my mom tried to teach me a million years ago, and fell in love with it and have since, you know, sort of surpassed her in a knitting sense. But meanwhile, she's completely plowed over me in sort of a fashion and sewing seamstress sense, because now she works in LA for all the TV and movie people doing costumes for that. So through our kind of competitive nature, we found our true calling. So
that's great.
Yeah. So yeah, basically I just didn't want to be one up.
Right. So tell us a little bit about what you do at Scasell. I think it's so interesting how you ended up there, and, you know, just tell us all about that and what you do.
I'm pretty lucky. I'm part of the design team. I do a lot of the social media. So when people are talking to someone on Ravelry or they send an email to like the info email address, those typically filter to me. So I've been really lucky to kind of be able to stay in touch with the end consumer. Mm-hmm. And because I have some knowledge in what yarn stores look for in certain products and how they display, I've been able to get sort of involved with producing new yarns and new products in general. And, you know, everybody always wants the job where they can name the nail polish colors. And I do sort of have that. So I'm lucky that I get to name a lot of the colors of our yarns and basically anything that's a pun. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
We'll keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. You'll see it. Trust me.
And do you get to do any design work?
Yep. So I do 2 knit alongs a year right now. So those are always my designs. And then when we get a new yarn, sometimes if I have time, I'll design something for the new yarn. Occasionally we'll do it for if somebody needs a custom design. We are able to do that occasionally. And then when we were producing our magalogs,
that was going to be my next question. What did you do? Those magalogs that Skasell has are kind of legendary. They're huge and they're kind of like a magazine with patterns and knitting tips and in-depth information from different yarn vendors or yarn manufacturers.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, they're just supposed to be a great tool to not only have as the end consumer, because there are patterns and fun articles, but it was also supposed to be a useful tool for shop owners to help promote and sell the yarn as well. Mm-hmm. So sort of a win-win. And plus it was always a labor of love for us because we love doing the photo shoots and working with the yarns and our awesome models who were always, our models are not actually hired models. They are people in the knitting industry. They were all knitters or crocheters or crafters of some sort. They're just all normal people. So that was always really fun to work with.
And what did you get to do for the maglog?
I only was able to work on 2, but the biggest project I worked on there was the sisterhood sweater, which was a concept to sort of get over the stigma that, you know, maybe you see a design in a magazine and it's on like a small young model and, you know, maybe average Joe doesn't think, well, you know, that'd be great for my granddaughter, but not for me. You know, I just wanted to break through that with this garment that was great for every age, every size, and just kind of fit to flatter. Mm-hmm. So we had, I think it was about 8 different women make it, and they were just a range of ages, sizes, everything, just to prove that because you see it on one person doesn't mean that it can't work for you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, what really do you guys project. Do now that you've ended the maglog? What has that rolled into?
Well, we published 2 books this year. So while we weren't publishing a magalog, we were doing 2 new books, which were both of Michelle Hunter's new books. Mm-hmm. And then we took a bit of a break. So I'm not exactly sure what is on our horizon next, whether that's going to be another full book of publications, or we did do a mini magalog at one point. So we might do one of those again. It's a bit up in the air right now, but we have a lot of ideas. So probably next year we'll roll those out.
And do you knit only for work or do you knit for pleasure and knit for other people? Or is it like, okay, this is my job. I just knit for, you know, when I'm working.
I knit a lot for work, but not all the time. I did actually make a sweater for me this summer, which was awesome. But I very rarely knit for like friends or family. Actually, Christmas time, they all enter a lottery and I pick one name and I make one person one handmade thing and that's it. So that way I know who actually wants something and I can give it to them.
That's a great idea.
Take the pressure way off.
And do you still have any goals that you want to achieve in knitting? Like new techniques you want to try or things that you want to improve on or, you know, master?
Oh, yeah. I mean, color work clearly is an area that personally I could improve upon. But in general, I just would like to see the whole knitting community expand. I'd love to see more young people involved. And I mean, I know there are a lot, especially, you know, now that Ravelry is around and, you know, it's a little more technology based to entice certain people to come in and join us. I'm looking forward to the next step. I don't know what that is. If maybe we can jump ahead of the fashions a little bit or be a little bit more on trend without sort of that normal lag time that we have. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really cool if we could get a little faster with patterns based on what's trendy right now.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You probably feel the same way.
Yeah. And what's your knitting pet peeve? I'm sure you have some.
What's the right way to do it? That used to drive me nuts. I think there is no right way as long as you're getting what you want at the end.
Yeah.
You know? And for people to remember, you're doing this of your own free will. So if knitting is stressing you out, you don't have to. Like, you can do something else. Maybe crochet, maybe weaving, maybe painting. Who knows? But yeah, it used to make me laugh when people would get so upset. Oh, I made a mistake. I have to rip it all out. You should just buy the sweater if you want to. You're doing this to yourself.
Right. So,
it's a hobby.
And there is a certain learning curve to it, though. People will jump in. I know when we had the brick and mortar stores, we'd hand the knitting to kids and they'd get it with, you know, they're so in tune to learning that they would just sit there and work on it until they had it right. But adults think that they have to master it right off the bat. And if you don't get it within 2 seconds, it's like, okay, I'm a failure. I can't knit. I tried. I'm done.
Hit the nail on the head. Yes, exactly.
You know, give it a little time to master. Think of how long it took for you to learn to tie your shoes when you were a kid. You're learning a whole new thing. Just give it a little time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if everybody just could pick it up and be awesome at it, where would the fun be? I mean, anybody would do it at that point and it wouldn't be so special.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Patience is a virtue that adults have less and less of as we get older.
Yeah. Why do we do that?
Yeah.
And do you have a yarn stash?
Oh, I have currently perhaps 2 different yarn stashes. One that could still be located in Florida at my parents' house. And one of equal size that is currently at my apartment here in Seattle.
And how do you store your yarn stash at home?
So my theory is if you keep it organized, it's a collection. But as soon as it gets messy, you might be a hoarder. So I have it all organized on a bookshelf so that I can still see it because, you know, a lot of the appeal from why I bought it initially was because of color or texture. So I just don't want it stuck in a tub hidden away for me to forget about. I want it there to remind me and inspire me for future projects too.
Yeah. It's like you're shopping every time you see your wall of yarn.
Oh, it's even better when you forget you have something and you're like, oh, yes, that thing I love. I still have it. Not that you can relate to that, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah. So, okay, you know a lot of people in the knitting world. Who's the best knitter you know or the most inspiring knitter that you know?
Oh, that's a great question. Let's see. One of the most inspiring knitters I know is my friend Jessica. We actually call her left-handed Jessica because she is a true left-handed knitter.
I am as well.
So
not many people know that, but yeah, I knit backwards of a right-hand person.
Like all of your cables go the other way as intended. Yes.
It's just mirror image.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
so go on. I'm sorry I interrupted.
That's a great input. And maybe you guys should work together in collaborating like the true left-handed knitters book of patterns, because I think that's, you know, I mean, it might be a niche market, but I'm sure real left-handed knitters would really appreciate, you know, at least having some option out there directly based towards them.
And so what inspires you about her?
The fact that instead of just knitting like a right-handed knitter, she takes that extra effort to, you know, read the pattern ahead of time. Does she want to flip all of the directions so that it actually is going to not be a mirrored image of what, you know, the picture looks like? You know, it's a lot of extra work. And basically, sometimes she has to entirely redesign a garment to get it to look just like what she wants. So,
yeah.
You know, that's a luxury that I don't have to, I get, and she doesn't. So
yeah,
that's really inspiring for me.
Having the cables reversed, that never bothers me. But one thing that really bothers me is, when I'm doing Kitchener stitch, I never know, do they mean, okay, am I supposed to reverse everything? Is it, if I do it the same way, is it going to come out the same way? My Kitchener always looks a little off. I never know why, because I'm am I supposed to flip the entire thing? In which direction would I flip it? So.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if you did them through the back loop instead, if that would make any difference.
Yeah. So I try to avoid Kitchener whenever possible.
Oh, that's fair. Oh, I put more and more Kitchener and provisional cast on in my patterns, and I'm sorry, but I love them. My bad.
What knitting tip has helped you the most, or what knitting tip would you like to give to knitters out there?
Oh, okay. The one that changed my life. And I'm pretty sure that the first time I ever read about it was through a newsletter. And it was how to do a long tail cast on without ever running out of yarn. And basically it was to do it from not just like the one outside strand and then hope that you guess the tail's long enough, but instead to use the inside of the ball and the outside of the ball to work as both of the strands. And then you just end up cutting the one that you don't want in the end and then knitting from there. So, oh, life changer. I mean, yeah. Time saver, frustration. Oh, no more frustration. So much easier. Just blew my mind.
That is a great tip.
Yep.
And if I were to open your knitting bag today or your purse, what must-have tool would be in there that you can't live without for knitting?
Measuring tape. I have like a million of them. They're in every single bag and pocket that I have. Yeah, so yarn you can break in most cases, but I am not good at guesstimating leg length. Nope.
And if you were stranded on a desert island and you could only take one type of yarn with you, what would it be?
One type of yarn on a desert island. Well, it's hot, so perhaps not a wool. I guess I would probably go for like a cotton or a cotton blend. So maybe something along the lines of like Kobasi. That way I could, you know, perhaps knit a shelter for myself and not die of sun poisoning. I'm so fair skinned, you know.
Yes.
I probably wouldn't make it.
And Katie, before we wrap things up, do you want to give a shout out to anybody, like favorite yarn store or knitting friends? I know you know a million people, but just, you know, a couple things that if you want to shout out to anybody.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, well, first and foremost, I obviously want to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Heather. Hey, oh, you know, you might be familiar with her.
Heather from UU Yarns. Yes.
Exactly. Yep. She's always one that I'm, one of my favorites to see at every show. And then, I mean, Good Yarn Sarasota is where I worked for 3 years and is really I have a lot to thank them for, especially Susan. So good to mention her. And then, of course, you know, Karin Scassell, Rob, Chuck, everyone here was so welcoming when I moved out here. I didn't know anybody. You know, I mean, they knew me a little bit, but not really. So I've just been very fortunate to know and be able to get along with so many people in the industry, especially since it's so small. So, yeah, I think those are probably – oh, and my parents, I mean, I don't know if they're going to listen to this, but I just, you know, I like to cover that base whenever I can. Just in case. Hey, Mom and Dad.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today, Katie.
Oh, I really appreciate it, Nancy. I think what you're doing is great. I mean, you know, not only to have people who are involved in the industry, but to really get to know just, you know, the average knitter and realize that none of us are average, you know?
Yeah.
I think everyone who knits is amazing. I don't know why we do this to ourselves, but, you know, it's so much fun, and I hope it never stops.
Well, you know, it's funny because you're my seventh or eighth interview. We've just started these podcasts, and that's we had everyone fill out a form ahead of time to see if they would be interested in being on, and we got such a huge response. And with the people we've interviewed so far, every single one of them has a different story to tell. And it's just as diverse as the yarns that are out there. I mean, there's just so many stories and so interesting. So thank
Absolutely.
You for sharing your story, Katie.
Oh, thanks for including me. I really appreciate it.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, visit blog.noblenits.com and fill out the podcast sign-up form. You can listen to all of our podcasts on iTunes or on our blog. And don't forget to shop noblenits.com. Free shipping on every U.S. order.